Bibles this afternoon, if you would, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where find your way, if you would, to that section that we have of Ephesians called chapter number 4. Ephesians and chapter number 4. A good portion of this chapter is going to serve as our source text, and we will read through it in just a moment. But first, as many of you know, we recently returned. As a matter of fact, last Sunday evening we returned. After driving down to Florida and the Gulf Coast of Alabama for a week's vacation or so, but also it was to get Erica settled back into Pensacola Christian College for the semester. Now, we had, by God's grace, a most wonderful time, really, and including the 2 full days of driving there, and again, 2 full days of driving home. Now, may I testify that God still works in amazing ways. My wife typically is adamant about her preference to not road trip. I know. Especially knowing that I will probably not drive as fast as she or some others that we know might drive. Nevertheless, to God's glory, He prepared both of us for this trip. And we were both looking forward to having the time, lots and lots of time, to simply be together and to talk and to listen to a few sermons and some good godly music and just be in each other's presence with nothing else to do but escape the daily rigors of work and home and children and all of the things that normally would consume our time. It was really a blessed time together and to be with the Lord together. Wasn't it? It was, right? Okay, good. It really was. It was a fantastic time. And I am so thankful for God's working throughout that whole time amongst the driving and the traffic. And, you know, the girls, they flew down, and then Elena had to fly home to start school. And then 4 different hurricanes, if you can consider that. Hurricane Fred came through just before we got there. While we're there, enjoying the sunshine, I mean, it was a beautiful week while we're there. Then there was another hurricane that went through the Gulf, and it went off toward Mexico. And then, as I think Elena was trying to come back here, then Hurricane Henry, or however you wanted to pronounce it, came up this direction, but by God's grace, it didn't affect her flights. And then, of course, we leave to come home, and here comes Hurricane Ida. Between 4 major hurricanes, we enjoyed God's blessing. And I'll tell you, I personally am so thankful that God answered those prayers. We started praying for that as soon as we heard about Fred, and we said, oh, we're going to take a trip down there. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun. But God was very, very gracious. And I tell you, I'm especially grateful for God's leading in our thoughts, in our conversations during that whole trip. Now, as I thought about Erica starting, what is effectively her junior year. It's her 4th year, but effectively it's her junior year in college. And Elena, of course, has started her senior year in high school. That's hard to believe. You know, I thought about how many times over the years we've tried to impart just a little bit of knowledge, maybe some wisdom, and we tried to give some advice for different situations and for life in general. In fact, we were recently, the family, with the girls, we recently had some conversations about some of the things that we used to try to tell the kids as they were growing up, and asking deep life-changing questions. You know, things like, what happens when you swallow a watermelon seed? Oh, don't swallow the watermelon seed. The watermelon's going to grow right out of your tummy. You're going to get great. That might not have been true. And things like, you know, where does chocolate milk come from? Everybody knows where chocolate milk comes from. Brown cows. Or how about this one? Anybody ever heard of this one? Crossing your eyes too long or making funny faces too long? Your face is going to freeze like that. Don't do that. Yeah. Or this was always a favorite. I think sometimes kids walking home, especially even through town here, maybe they still do this. Step on a crack and break your mama's back. Yeah, there it is. All right. And a lot of crazy things that we try to make our young children believe. Well, Maybe not so much make them believe, but maybe it's just to get them to behave in certain ways. Mostly, okay, be honest, Mom and Dad, mostly just kind of having some fun at their expense. All right. Well, in thinking about that, one of my thoughts about advice that I had gotten or heard somewhere as I was growing up, it kind of stuck with me, even though I don't know if I always understood it completely. Though I can tell you that as the Holy Spirit of God has worked with me and in me over the years, I'm beginning to get a much clearer understanding and a perspective on this particular piece of advice and how it should apply to my life. That through that thought or that advice or principle is going to be the center of the message today. Aren't you glad I told you that? Well, what is the advice? I know you were waiting for that. Here it is. No matter where in life you go, no matter what you do in life, show up and be there. Okay. I get, you know, as you're growing up, you hear something like that, and you're like, got it. You don't always understand that. But I believe that the Holy Spirit will help us today through the Word of God to see that very piece of advice and how it will apply to us today. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message today, wherever you are, be there, as you have given me that title. Father, I'd ask that your Holy Spirit would speak. Lord, that your word would ring ever so loudly in our hearts and our minds and our souls, that, Father, it's not your servant standing here that people listen to, but, God, that it is your word that we can hear. And may the Holy Spirit help us to gain this understanding today through your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said a moment ago, when I heard this phrase, wherever you go or wherever you go and wherever you're at in life, be there, I tried to understand what was being said. And I suppose over some time, I kind of came to a conclusion that it was advice that was relating to maybe things like when you're facing some challenges in life, don't shy away from those challenges. I heard one time a devotional, actually it was a message that I heard on the radio. I heard the statement that said, don't shy away from the challenges or the pressures that God is using to conform you. Well, that's pretty good advice. Well, perhaps that advice meant that if you make some big life decision, maybe it's about a job, or maybe it's moving somewhere away from home as you grow up and you get to that age, maybe once you go forward with that plan, you have to stick to it. You see, the advice is stick to it. You got to own your decisions. You don't look back. You don't regret the choice that you've made. You just go on from there and you make it work. Well, I suppose that that's not bad advice, but I feel like that aspect has much more of a worldly, almost humanistic tone to it. Whatever you do, it's fine. Just pick yourself up and go on. I don't know that that's the way we need to apply that. Today, I want to see if this phrase, wherever you are, be there, falls in line with Scripture that God has given us. Scripture really is our best source of information, and it really should be our only source of information, right? Of advice. And the advice that we get out of Scripture is only that advice that should shed light on how to apply it. It's Scripture itself that should help us to understand how to apply the advice that God gives us through the Scripture. So in Ephesians chapter 4, look with me. If you haven't turned there, turn there. But look with me, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, as Paul is writing, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I suppose, let's pause there for a minute. I suppose we could stop right there, and we could use verse number 2 as a 3-point outline for a good Baptist message, because verse number 1 is a great introduction there, and then verse 2 has these 3 points that we should walk worthy of the vocation with point number 1, all lowliness. Point number 2, we should walk with long suffering. And point number 3, we should walk with forbearance for each other in love. And then verse 3, of course, will be a nice summary closing, giving us a like-minded goal as a church family to keep the unity. Now, that would certainly be for a great message. I'm not doing that today. I'm going to go on. So, tell you what, men, the next time we have a fifth Sunday, I just gave you your source text for your message. There you go. You're welcome. All right, anyway. anyway, that would certainly be a great message, but let's go on. Let's look at how God, through the Apostle Paul, is going to help us gain his understanding. Starting in verse number 4, and can I say that Brother Dave had a good message last week. We were listening as we were driving. And Brother Dave, if you're listening, I'm going to borrow just a little bit from your message last week, because I believe that this portion of Scripture gives us, are you ready for it? Gives us the who for, the what for, the where for, the why for, the when for, and the how for. And it's all wrapped up in this chapter. That's all I'm stealing from you, Brother Dave, or borrowing, sorry. Anyway, Paul records here in verse number 4, look with me. He says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Verse 7 says, "But unto every one of us..." Now, I want you to notice something very quickly. Notice that the two words, every one, that's not a single every one group word. I believe that God separated those words on purpose because it is every one of us. Okay, keep that in mind as we read through this. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Jump with me down to verse 11. Speaking of the gifts that he gave unto men, he says, "And he gave some," in verse 11, "apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints." Now that word perfecting is to make, it means to completely furnish, right? Or for the complete furnishing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body..." Friends, that is the church family, "from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That's a whole lot of words. Did you keep up, or did you get lost somewhere in the middle? If you got lost, that's okay. It's printed in your Bibles. Read it again when you get home. Right? Amen. And if you don't remember what I said, get the CD. It'll be good. So this whole body that Paul writes is the whole body of Christ. That is, what did the verse say? Every one of us, individually and yet together. It's every one of us that has accepted Christ as our Savior. It's every one of us that has accepted Christ as our Redeemer. It doesn't matter if you are the longest term member of this or any other church. It doesn't matter if you are the youngest believer in Christ, having understood what it means to be saved and being washed in the blood of the crucified one, as the song goes, that is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you believe your position may or may not be in a church or in a ministry. He says, "from whom the whole body fitly joined together." Now, if we're going to talk about the body of Christ, I suppose that we have to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's kind of a parenthetical interjection here. In other words, when you're writing a sentence and you put something in parentheses, you want to add a little bit more information in the middle. That's what we're going to do. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 very quickly. And very briefly, you probably already know exactly what passage this is. And if you do, that's great. But if not, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look with me starting in verse number 14. We're talking about the body of Christ or the body of the church. It says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but it is many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Well, that's foolish. Of course it is. He goes on, he says, "If the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' well, is it not of the body?" Yeah, it is. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." As we were listening to messages on our drive, I think it was Alistair Begg. Now, I like Alistair Begg's preaching. I do not agree with Alistair Begg in everything that he says, because he's got some opinions that I simply do not agree with, and he's got some stances about, especially the King James Bible, that I do not agree with. But the message that we were listening to was a good message, and he happened to be preaching out of this particular thing. He said, "Now, if every one of you out here in the congregation today was an eye, how would you smell?" Well, that comes right out of Scripture. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if in fact this is the way we are? Maybe as an analogy, as an illustration, we're all different parts of the body. Can you imagine when we're all glorified and in heaven, and we start meeting some of these saints that we haven't ever met, and they come up and say, "Well, who are you, and what part of the body were you?" "Well, I'm Pastor Gangwer, and I suppose as a pastor, I probably was some sort of a head." "Oh, well, that's great. That's great. And who are you, and what was your role?" "Well, I'm Mrs. Gangwer, and if he was the head, I was the neck, and I had to keep him straight." Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But, you know, maybe they come up and say, "Well, who are you, and what was your role?" "Well, I was a nose, and I smell." "Oh, all right. We'll just leave that alone. And who are you?" "Well, I'm Brother Hurdle, and I was a foot, and I smell too." No, no. Anyway. No, that was terrible. But no, let's go on. So we were here in verse number 18 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." Verse 19 goes on and says, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." Where you are in the body doesn't matter. It's not nearly as important as what you do with the role that you've been given. We'll talk about that in a minute. But keep reading. Verse number 21, he says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of you, of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of thee.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. What he is saying there is that whether you have an important role in a ministry, or whether you don't have any particular title or role or anything, but you come to church faithfully, it doesn't matter what role you might have been given to fill. You are as important as every other role in God's ministry. Because the Bible said that God gave you that role. Now please understand, what you are called of God to do in His kingdom, which means right here on earth while we're alive, what you're asked to do with any part of God's ministry is not as important as doing that part with all your heart to honor your God and Savior. I was going to go somewhere else, but let's just continue on. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Matthew chapter 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your Father which is in heaven, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light You don't have to worry about someone else in the church or someone else in any other ministry anywhere around the world and whether or not their light shines brighter than your light or your light shines as bright as somebody else's light. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let your light shine. Do what God's given you to do, and God will be glorified. So keeping that in mind, let's go back to our text, back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're not done reading yet. Oh, how about that? Keeping this in mind, let's go back to our text in Ephesians 4. Let's reread verses 14 through 16. The Bible again said that we henceforth... What does henceforth mean? Does anybody know what henceforth means? Henceforth means from right now going forward. Not last week, not yesterday, not when you decide to get to it. He says that henceforth, right now, you have a decision to make as to whether or not you are going to let your light so shine before men. Right now and going forward, it is your responsibility to do what God has given you to do. He says that we henceforth be no more children. Grow up, he says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom, that is Christ, the whole body, every single individual part, the member of the body, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, watch this, by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. What is that referring to? If you remember back to the beginning of this passage, it says that every one of us was given according to the measure of faith by God. So whatever has been measured to you, use it. Well, I don't know if I can get up front and lead music. I don't know if I could do a fifth Sunday message. It doesn't matter. Christian, can we agree with the Word of God that wherever you are, wherever I am spiritually, God has given each and every one of us the exact duty or job or task, call it the exact ministry that God wants for us to have for right now. Can we agree with the Word of God? 1 Corinthians 12:18 again says, God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now, if we fall behind in what we've been given to do, or if we question, why don't I have a more important role? Or we just flat out refuse to execute our individually given roles from God, then the whole body of the church, the whole body of Christ, will not function properly as God would have it to do. God's given each one of us a role that he expects us to accomplish. And if we don't, first of all, we're disobeying God. Okay, let's just be honest about it. First, if we don't do what God's given us to do, it's flat out disobedience. But secondly, the whole body of Christ suffers. Because our verse said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Why is the church today dwindling so badly? Because Christians aren't doing what God has given them to do. Flat out truth. Right out of the Word of God. Have I done what I'm supposed to do? Not always. Have I gone out to our neighborhoods and found people that are looking for the Word of God and told them where they can find it here at Calvary Baptist Church or any other church that is fundamental in the Word of God? Well, there's still empty pews. Friends, it includes every one of us, from anyone standing in the pulpit, to those that clean the building, to those that just don't forsake the assembling of themselves together, to yard work, to witnessing at home, work, school, or play, to going to the Lord in prayer. Every single one of us that is called to hold up one another and to hold up each other's burdens before our holy and our righteous Father and our God in heaven. Every one of us has a job to do, and it's so incredibly important. Why? Because God gave it to us. Now understand the importance of every believer called, Paul continues in our text. Understand the importance as we look to the second portion of this message, starting at verse 17, and it gives us our challenge today. Verse 17, he says, "This I say," here's your therefore, "this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye," here it is again, "henceforth, from right now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." He says, don't walk as you see other people walk. Don't compare your walk with the Lord with anyone else, saved or unsaved. The Bible says our standard is Jesus Christ. We're not going to be conformed to Pastor James Gang or Dr. Pastor James Gang or of Calvary Baptist Church. We're not going to be conformed to Dr. Jack Treiber. We're not going to be conformed to any preacher that you want to fill in the blank with. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That is our standard. He is our standard. If we're falling short of that, we still got work to do. And we're going to have work to do until we are completely changed in the rapture, or after we have died and gone to heaven. But he goes on. He says, let's see, he goes on in verse number 20. Verse 19, "Who being past feeling," talk about the others, "who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Friends, don't let the deceitful and jealous and prideful thought that you and your role in the body of Christ are just not as important as someone else. Do not let that deceitful, jealous, and prideful thought enter into your mind. Remember, God designed your role just for you. Now, I know that if we think too much about it, we can be tempted to feel like, if I don't have a more prominent role in a ministry, that maybe God doesn't think that I'm worthy of that, or maybe God doesn't think that I'm capable of greater things than he has me doing. Friends, that is rebellion and disobedience. Put it out of your mind. It is dangerous territory that Satan wants you to enter into, that your flesh, your carnality wants you to enter into, so that the blessings of you doing the job God gave you are robbed from you. Please put these things out of your mind. It is a lie of your flesh and spurred on by Satan and his band of demons. You see, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, you probably know what it says. The Lord saith, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has not put you in a particular role, large or small as you might think it is, because he doesn't want you to grow. No. God has put you in a particular role because there is no one else that will fill that role like you will. And that's what God wants. What it means is that whatever God has you doing right now, it's a step along the way of your sanctification and growth in the grace of God. God has a plan and a purpose for you and for every step of your life and for every step of the lifelong process of your growth. And his purpose is to help us to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, that's the purpose. And God knows with all omniscience that He has, He knows that every single one of us have a different process that we have to go through. I can't grow the same way that my wife grows. She can't grow the same way that I grow. And so God knows that. And has tailored, has individually custom crafted your role for you right now. That may not be your role next week, next month, next year, in 5 years, in 10 years. But it's part of the process. And if you try to skip over this step, when it's time for you to join another role, you're going to be missing some of the tools that you need. You can't skip it. You can't shortcut what God has for you down the road. You have to go through it. And so, friends, we have to understand that God knows what is best. May I ask you this as we get ready to close? Did Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, to whose image we are to be conformed and to be shaped and to be molded, did Christ walk this earth without times of leanness and maybe fruitlessness? Maybe you feel like you're in a dry spell in your life right now, that you can't, no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to get anything done for God. Can I ask you to look over the life of Christ? Did every moment that Christ was alive on this earth, was He bringing people to God? Every single moment? I say no. I say that He had that purpose, and I say that He had that goal, and I say that based on what Scripture tells us, He had a public ministry that started at a certain point in His life. Does that mean that beforehand He wasn't talking to people about God? No, I don't believe so, because we know that in Jerusalem when He was 12 years old, He was sitting with the doctors and He was debating with them and He was giving them answers that they couldn't believe. So yeah, He had those, that He had all of that knowledge and He had that heart toward His Father and He was trying to help. But I have to also believe that there was times when we didn't necessarily have recorded fruitfulness. There's going to be times in our life when maybe we don't have as much fruitfulness as we do at other times. That doesn't mean that we ought to give up. You see, if you feel like your role is of little worth and it doesn't accomplish much, look at the life of Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the Bible says, who is also the finisher, the perfecter, the craftsman of our faith. He knows by His own experience how you might feel in those times of dryness or fruitlessness. And He, as the Bible records it, is that new man that we are to be putting on. You see, He didn't allow for that prideful, jealous thought of, well, I'm not as good as somebody else. Well, look at, you know, it's a, no. He knew what God had for Him to do. That was His primary focus. That was His single, solitary goal in life, was to do His Father's will. Bar none, He got no distractions from that. He focused on that. Friends, that's what we have to do. Again, look with me in verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look to the Scriptures. Get a fresh perspective. Be renewed and revigorated and re-energized in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you see, friends, the Bible, in fact, tells us wherever you are spiritually, be there with Christ at your side. And God will be honored. Amen? Pastor, do you want to come close the service?
Well, what a companion message from this morning, amen? And the two of them were like stub, they call them joints. Double joint. When you make those dovetail joints. That's what I was missing, dovetail joints. I think that this one's message and this message went together. I should have incorporated some of the things that he had in his message in mine, and he'd go, but hey, the longer we stick together, the worse we're getting. We're thinking more like each other all the time. I don't know. Anyway, Father, we thank you for this time we had together this afternoon. And Father, how we thank you for the richness of your word. Lord, it not only gives us the things that we should be doing, it also tells us how we should be doing them. And so, Lord, you have covered everything that needs to be covered. Lord, you've touched on everything that needs to be touched on. But Lord, as you touch our hearts, may we respond. Lord, we know that the woman had an issue for many years, and the physicians couldn't help her. She just simply reached out and he touched the garment. But Lord, there are those that you literally did touch. They received their sight. They received their hearing. The lame were made to walk. The lepers were cured. And Lord, whatever it is that's holding us and keeping us back, Lord, certainly a touch from your word, a boost from the Holy Spirit of God can bring us to that point where we realize that in these latter days, you have a purpose and a plan for us. Lord, we could have been born any time in human history. But Lord, we have been born for this time. May we be true. May we be faithful. And realize that we've got to step up our responsibilities and to seek and to fulfill that purpose and that plan that you have for us. And in a way that would be pleasing to you and glorifying, but also pique other people's interests. And Father, we're going to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for the work that you continue to do in our hearts and our lives. Again, Lord, thank you for those who tuned in. Thank you for those who remained this afternoon. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.